opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who supported me through this journey. Those who have left us will always be in our hearts and will never be forgotten. Today, our topic is aging and career paths, and I'm so honored to have as my guest today, Leslie Hurst. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today. I am thrilled.
Well, hi, Andrew. Thanks so much. We've been talking about having this conversation for a while, so it's nice to finally get it done. I'm really excited to speak with you today. Thanks.
Same here. How are things with you? What's going on in your world? Give us the tea, the deets, give us it all. What's going on?
That depends on the subject. So yeah, the Leafs are out of the playoffs, so my schedule is wide open in the evenings. I was always worried about double booking myself because I'm a huge Leaf fan, and I think we're the only kind left are the big fans. But anyways, yeah, so yeah, life is good. I'm up to a whole bunch of things as always, so it depends on the subject. But overall, I think if you don't believe the best is yet to come, you've missed the mark. So yeah, lots of great stuff in the works for sure.
I love what you're saying there. The best is yet to come. When you think like that, it's just so inspiring and it just keeps you going because you just never know what the possibilities are and you just got to keep plugging away. So I just love that. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. It's super cool to hear that things are going well. Again, for the listeners who follow hockey, sorry about the Leafs. Hopefully they will make the changes necessary to move forward in the playoffs in the future. But we shall see. Before we begin our great conversation here, Leslie, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question for my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours today?
Let's do it.
So your question is, if you could invent a new holiday, what would it be and how would you celebrate it?
Well, you know, my heart always goes to seniors. So it would be something in honor of seniors. I feel like Remembrance Day is one day where we remember people who are veterans. There's all that veterans themselves have families and other elderly people around them that deserve a day just to honor, you know, the hands that raised us. And I know we do with Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I feel like having one just for our seniors would be awesome.
I agree. I think it would be a great holiday. And you are absolutely right. Seniors have done a lot for us and we have to recognize them and remember them for sure. So I definitely agree. I think that's a really thoughtful answer. I really appreciate that. That's super, super kind of you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So why don't we get into the meat and bones of this? I'd love for you to start off with telling us a little about yourself and I'd love to hear about your why.
Okay. Well, but yeah, as Andrew introduced, my name is Leslie Hurst. I joke all the time that I have a background in nursing. I always say I majored in rugby, minored in nursing, but managed to graduate and then sort of followed that career path into the hospital setting where I recognized quickly that I didn't want to just have to live my life at that age around my work. I wanted to be able to have something that I did for a living that allowed me to live my life the way I wanted to, which included, you know, pursuit of this rugby ambition of representing Canada someday. So I was able to successfully do that, but my career ended, I would say, early because of an injury. And at that point, it was like, you know, you can think about professional athletes or, you know, with an injury, what's their backup plan? But, you know, of course, I had nursing because when you're a female athlete until recent days, and I'm so delighted to see all these pro sports leagues and things that are coming up for women. It's long overdue, if you ask me. But at the time I knew, you know, nursing was my career. I was really proud of it, passionate about it. I loved moving into home care. So that was the setting where I found the flexibility that allowed me to, you know, get a workout in and book time off if I needed it without having to trade my time for money in a 12-hour shift in a building. That just was not ever meant for me. So the other thing I found in the community that I loved was the ability to care for one family at a time. And I always say I was kind of that person who greeted your loved one at home from hospital when they were pretty sure they shouldn't be there yet. They're fairly certain they should still be in the hospital, but they've been told they're safe to get home. And so I always love, like I mentioned already, we have to believe that we can handle what's coming next. So just helping them sort of breathe life over what the next chapter looked like. And for some, that meant, you know, an acute illness and being forced to slow down before they're ready to aid their recovery and help their body to heal after an illness or a surgery or a trauma. And most recently, now I'm working in palliative care, where the goal is to help people avoid moves they don't want, whether it be to long-term or retirement care or into hospice is a common one for me in my role these days. But basically, I believe, like when you say my why, I believe we are created for more than just following the followers. And I believe we're meant We each come here with a gift that we're meant to use. It was where we sort of collect experiences and expertise along the way. And for me, what that ended up looking like was adding real estate into the mix about 17 years ago for my nursing career, because I really wanted to be able to create more choice in my life. And I knew working as a registered nurse, while it's a profession I'm super proud of, and when I tell people what I do, they hold their heart and they, you know, they can relate, or they might have a question about, you know, some health related thing. But I knew that, you know, most people are looking to remain in place as they age. And I had worked in the capacity of visiting nurse and realtor. So I say I've been in the homes and washrooms of many, many a family with elderly loved ones, and just helping guide people to believe there's something better available. And that I needed to do that first by willing to, like you say, let's be diverse. I didn't want to stay on this road of I'm a nurse and that's all I am. I'm a nurse and I'm also a bunch of other awesome things, and unapologetically so. I know that in the setting that I chose, where I chose to remain in my career, it allowed me to really talk to people in a different way. When you're sharing that experience with somebody, when they're fearful, it's really difficult for them to make good decisions. Like, by definition, they can't. We're not wired to do that. So being able to come in and be that supportive person with the expert eye to help guide their path has always felt like what I was put here to do. So I love working with the whole family and helping them create choice for their family. And in doing that, creating choice for my own family too. So that when I come home, I'm more than just, you know, I'm not just a nurse. I'm not just a realtor. I actually have another health and wellness business. So I'm really all into the whole idea of aging our best, taking great care of our body and educating people, because I always laugh and say most people would stand over their dying body, and if all they had to do to save their own life was find their kidney, they'd be in trouble. But, you know, we live in this body our whole life and don't really understand how it works until something goes wrong. You know, when you look in the dashboard of the car, if you're not a mechanic, it tells you something's wrong. So when we can actually start to listen to that and pair that with the idea that we actually have control over how this looks moving forward, and that we can believe something better than where we are is available, and that we're worthy and capable of achieving it, that's where the magic happens.
I love everything that you said there, Leslie. And what really came out of what you said there is just throughout your career, you've developed lots of skills in the different careers that you were in, and you've taken everything that you've learned and put it forward to the next a career, which is something that I think a lot of people learn to do or have trouble learning to do or are afraid to do that because they just don't know that they can move forward in something. And I just love that you believed in yourself and believed in your abilities and your knowledge, and you weren't afraid to move forward in that capacity. So I commend you for that.
Well, thanks. And it's a little bit tricky because I use the joke all the time that I feel a little bit like the trench coat lady when people say, tell me what you do. I'm like, well, there's a lot going on, right? But I feel like AgeWise Group, the consulting firm I founded in 2021, really in response to the idea that we need to take better care of our seniors.
Right.
And there's already a waiting list that's, you know, multiple five figures deep for people that they can like a unit in long-term care all they want, but it's not available to them. So what do we do to support those people and their families in that interim? And not just the people that are on the list, the people who hope to never be on that list.
Right.
So that we can really come around and evaluate, not just in a siloed approach of, okay, what are you able to get your shower and your meals and those activities of daily living that we talk about in healthcare, but so much bigger than that, you know, navigating relationships and, you know, contractors and caregivers coming in and out. And it's a lot for people. It's very overwhelming. And being able to sort of bring those diverse backgrounds to one place where I don't have to worry about overstepping a boundary or a line, because this is who I am. I have a difficult time going into somebody's home and not connecting with that person. And I don't think it's something I should turn off, but I always have to be careful. Of course, I've been a registered nurse for 27 years. I love what I do. I value my license. And, you know, I also think that when you're in someone's home, the care just looks different. And because again, you're seeing like in the hospital, when someone gets sent home, they never really know what happens, but we're there to kind of see it firsthand what's happening for people as they navigate their home system. And what do we do now?
For sure. So you're very familiar with aging. How does aging affect our career performance?
Well, this term that I use called the sandwich generation, or I've also heard it referred to most recently as the in-betweeners, where, okay, so you've worked really hard to get your career on path, whatever that was for each person, right? And now we have the other demands that happen outside of the job that pays us. We have the other demands of our life, not just our financial demands that the job meets, hopefully, or career, because I think most people would agree. Most jobs aren't enough. Most people with a job need more than one. And most people, you know, you could have a salaried career or a commissioned position, but it's, you know, one job is typically not enough for people in today's economy. Let's face it. So, you know, when they're looking at all the things they need to manage, and now all of a sudden their parents also need help. So you're now in the, there's that, that sort of, I always refer to it as like chapters. So the sort of the chapter of your youth when you're like, you're young and sort of carefree and just kind of figuring out your path, right? And then as you approach kind of like, you know, adulthood, like towards middle age, it's sort of, you're maybe settling down. I think people are settling down a little later. But, you know, there's sort of that settling down period where maybe if you're lucky, you'll get into home ownership and really put down roots. And typically, you know, if a family's involved or children, now you've got that chapter of, you know, parenthood where you're still required. As far as I know, after a year, you've got to get back to work. And we're lucky to have the year we have. And yet I think there are cultures who get it better as far as, you know, having that balance of being able to be a present parent and a professional in whatever capacity you've chosen. And then it isn't long before. And I think the whole pandemic season of things, chapter of things, we'll call it, really opened people's eyes to like a preview of what it's going to be like when your mom and dad need your help. Mm-hmm. So that's just a whole other, and I call it a burden of care because, and I'm not saying the parents are a burden. I'm saying it's work. It's busy work. So there's mm-hmm. things that need to do. And people feel that burden because they, of course, they don't want to let their parents down. Right? They want to be there. They want to be present, but their boss thinks otherwise. So, you know, trying to build in some of this awareness and almost like creating a toolkit can help people in the workforce who are now also kind of taking that on. So I think, mm-hmm. again, people's career paths may need to change. There may need to be, you know, leaves of absence or even modified schedules, maybe only the ability to take a part-time role so that they have the flexibility to care for all the people and all the things that they need to care for. And I do, I'm pleased that I think you're right. I think there's people who are able to take all the things that they do and sort of forge a path, because following the path somebody laid out for you is going to lead somewhere that isn't maybe where you really want to go if you stop. We say it's comfortable, but it's actually just familiar. Like I think for most people that comfort zone isn't all that comfortable after all. It's just what they know and that feels safe. And again, mm-hmm. it comes back down to, I just got home from hospital and I have one less limb, or even like this IV in my arm or whatever it is that's going on for somebody in their physical health that forces them to slow down. You know, there's just a lot to consider with it all. It can be extremely overwhelming. And when, you know, at the end of the day, our own personal well-being is one of the only things we have control over. Mm-hmm. And our mindset around it. So just reminding people of that, I think is so key, and along the workforce too, but having boundaries and setting standards for like, okay, you know, I remember it was actually a mentor in my Arbon business in the network marketing space, which I started 13 years ago to supplement my income, because it just was a business model that I loved the idea where you're successful when you help other people be successful.
Right.
It felt like a team sport. And I missed that. And after my rugby days were, my playing days were done, but this was, it almost felt like kind of getting paid to socialize and promote healthy aging, which I was already wanting to do because, you know, I think we know healthy aging starts on the inside. So helping people in the workforce figure this out a little earlier would be great, so that we have a little bit less time due to health-related absenteeism and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But also in that space, somebody once mentioned, you can't blame other people for how you let them treat you. And I think I have to, you know, I don't want to go down too much of a rant here, but I was an employee for 17 years with the same agency and had little to no exposure or support from, or need for support from my HR department, like just kind of knew they were there until something happened. And then when I needed something, it was like, I figured out real quick, I was just a number they didn't give a crap about. Mm-hmm. And that didn't feel very good, especially mm-hmm. in a caring profession. So that was like, I think where the little bit of a maverick side of me is like, no, like I won't be treated that way. And again, I won't get into the nuts and bolts of the story, but I think, you know, we've heard about it. I know on whatever, oh geez, was it on like the Google, there was a movie about it where it's like, there's like, you know, rest time and play time kind of built into your workday. And I think when we're thinking about how can we actually support our employees, saying we're going to support, let us know how we can support you, let us know what we can do when you really don't tend to do anything, like those are empty words. And it's like, so I feel it's important for the employees themselves. And it really comes back down to our individual desire and free will choice to say, this is not something that I'm willing to tolerate in the workplace. And therefore I have to move on, as uncomfortable as it is. I can't return to that employer after being treated the way I was treated. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I think I made every effort to work with them to try to, you know, like, you know, clear up what had gone wrong. In any case, I just think, as far as careers go, I guess part of the lesson there is, your career can take a curveball too that you didn't expect. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what happened for me in the last couple of years. And I was grateful that I built these other streams of income alongside, because I don't know what I would have done if that had been my one and only thing. I would have been in a major jam. And so it's nice that, I think more people are starting to see their career path isn't necessarily this linear path along what they went to school for. Mm-hmm. Rather, it's like, you know, building up your resume, building up your skill set, expertise, building your network, building connections within whatever role you're in so that you can be excellent at what you do and have a view to the future. And I'm sure there are people out there who are just delighted with what they do and just they're going to be so upset when retirement day comes. They just can hardly imagine their life without their work. But there's a lot of other people on the other side of that coin who once they retire, they don't even know what they did with their days. So that as we're moving through that sort of journey from middle age to starting to like where you're aging, like you're starting to notice, you know, I was actually having this conversation with a physician last week, you know, getting interrupted sleep in the middle of the night used to be something we were all used to. Now it's like, I might not recover for a day or two after a rough night. Whereas when my kids were young and I was a little bit younger, it didn't bother me. And I think as we get older, we have a little bit less capacity. We be a little more set in our ways, but also we've also got a lot of wisdom that we can bring forward to the kind of work smarter and not harder. And anyone who hears this that might've been a rugby player will appreciate this. You know, when I was sort of towards the end of my playing career, they were definitely younger, faster girls who could maybe they could do things in the gym that maybe I was no longer able to do. But you know right. what? On the field, I still would choose to have like the wisdom around me as opposed to just the sheer athleticism. You know what I mean? Women who knew how to conserve their energy and pick their moments to get engaged in the game and stuff like that. So I feel like that's also a piece for in a career path where you can say, okay, like, you know, we can kind of gear up for seasons in our careers and appreciate that our careers is one thing we do, but life has so many other demands on our time and bandwidth. And when we talk about what are our priorities, I love that you thank your family and the people who supported you to get here, Andrew, because that was in age-wise, we call that whānau. It's a Maori term for like the people we choose for ourselves. And I can applaud and admire the people who really feel like their workplace and their employer or the people who are responsible for, you know, their income, that they feel that those are people they want in there. But I think most people have this first and then the employer may be on the outskirts of that. And in my network marketing business, I've been a consultant with Arbonne for 13 years. And what I learned through that business model was how to create a culture of people where they feel appreciated. They're motivated to work for you and it's their success. And they know, you know, when I was coaching and training, I tell the girls, I can't take your shots for you. I can't do your pushups for you in the gym. You have to do that. There's a certain point where it really comes back down to each individual's own like skills and effort. And those things are things we have control over in the workplace and in whatever else we might choose to add in to give ourselves choice over the coming chapters. And then of course, we look at, you know, at the aging point, people are starting to consider retirement. I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish as far as
it is.
I always say, give your old lady self a special avatar and think, Andrew, how are you going to want to live when you're 80, 90? And you have to start making decisions today based on that man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know that there's a lot of people who feel like they're going to have to work to the day they die to live a decent life. And so being able to take care of ourselves and our well-being, but also to take care of ourselves financially, so that we're not, you know, limited and have to live within this little box of this is my salary or this is my earnings. And then I've got this much set aside and my, you know, you get the pension statement that shows you how much you're going to get per month to the end of time. And for most people that number looks pretty deficient, right? And so what can we do to bolster that? That's a self-confidence and a self-love thing. It's like, shouldn't be frowned upon. I don't believe in any workplace that someone can be that and something more. And so we're seeing a lot of people on their way into retirement who maybe they don't want to do the thing they always did. But one of my colleagues, Doug, said, it's a rewirement. I didn't want to retire. I don't want to sit at home and, you know, do the crossword puzzle and, you know, maybe play nine holes. I wanted to be out living and making a difference and taking all of who I am. And wow, especially, and let this also be a great tip from a palliative care nurse, we're not all guaranteed an old age. So we need to live our life. And it can't be based around work, hoping for someday we're going to be able to retire and live well. Mm-hmm. Like if whatever you enjoy, you should try to chase it every day. And I believe like God, the desires in our heart are safe guidance. And when you can keep those things front and center and the people you love, that whānau, that group of like, you know, maybe your brother's got the strike through, but the neighbor's welcome because you had some falling out with your brother. And so that, you know, as along that process, when people are aging is typically when the consequences of the relationships that they've either tended to or failed to tend to over the years can be really prevalent. Like if you needed help because you had surgery tomorrow and who would put up their hand and be there? Those are the people you want to be intentional with relationship building around, and not because there's something in it for you down the road, but because if you only ask for help when you're desperate and they never hear from, and no one hears from you any other time, there's just a different level of care when it's reciprocal and you're how can I help? How could I support you? You know, how, you know, and I'll ask you this, Andrew, like, how can I support you in your mission in moving this messaging forward about, you know, the importance of diversity in the workplace or being able to really be yourself and mm-hmm. let your light shine and not feel like you have to fit into any one box?
Sure. There's so many things that you said there that were golden nuggets, but a leader, that's what we look for, is somebody who sees that. And I could see all the things that you said in your career. Life goes so fast. Before you know it, you're at that age. And now, and then you're starting to think, oh my God, like now I got to start thinking about, okay, when am I ready to cut the cord and to retire? And when, you know, all these new people are coming in to the organization, when do I know that it's time for me to move on? But there are a lot of companies that are wanting to keep the people, the seniors and older people in the organization because of the work ethic and because of how strong and they are and their soft skills and all that. They want to keep them around longer. So they might say to them, hey, listen, would you like to stick around? Or even if they don't want to work full time, hey, would you be willing to work like 2-3 days a week here just to help us out? We've got so many projects and stuff. So how do you think diversity, equity, inclusion impact our aging workforce?
Oh boy. Well, I can say from my perspective, I think it's important, more important than ever, for wherever possible, people to be paired up with people, caregivers, service providers, support, where there's a level of comfort among each other. And I think, again, when we're in my roles, it's been in the homes of other people. So when you go into their home, it becomes easy to know how to, you know, respect the culture, the boundaries, the level of cleanliness, for example. Like these are all things that are different in every household. I think being able to create a work environment too, for example, where I see it the most is people who have immigrated to Canada, they're providing healthcare. They might've been a physician at home where they moved from. And here they're like working as a PSW or something that's like, definitely a different scope. And yet with the language barrier again, of course, like all different genders and so forth, when you're coming into the home of a senior who might have less experience and they never did the diversity training when they were in the workforce, they retired before that happened. And I also think we all know, and this is said with such respect, but in many cases, when people are elderly, they also, their filter is a little bit looser, if you know what I'm saying. Like they might say something that today be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that. Right. And by no means are they trying to offend. I think, again, we have to bring it back to like, what's their lived experience? And so I think we need to have, again, while we need to have a tolerance to a degree for it, we also have an opportunity there to educate without making somebody feel ashamed or judged or whatever, what have you. There's a lot we can do in the communication to try to avoid those types of scenarios. And that with AgeWise Group, that was one of the things I first built into our framework and how we serve people is, you know, how does somebody like it done? Do they have, like, are they fully, like, you can see that somebody has prejudices or what have you, or that they discriminate in some sort of way, then don't put them in a situation where that needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't send in the worker who's going to be combative about it, or that's going to be difficult for them to understand. Because when you think about just the hearing loss alone, and then you add in an accent, when someone can't understand someone who's speaking in their mother tongue, mm-hmm. and then they bring somebody in who's maybe a little bit shy or meek, or maybe not, but they're not, that communication piece is paramount, and avoiding mm-hmm. and preparing for, okay, somebody's going to be coming in. This is what you can expect when they come. Not just someone calls and they can't even understand the phone call to set up the appointment. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
That's where I feel like, I think seniors want to be on point with it. I don't think they want to offend, or they might be a little bit sort of behind the times, like then as far as, you know, what's accepted and the different types of training. And to be honest with you, when I went through this little unexpected career change in the last couple of years, the ability to provide really robust and sound orientation so that there's really no excuse for, if you need a resource, it's right at the tip of your fingers. Mm. Whereas, you know, when I first, back in the old days, when I started my nursing career, it was like, you're in a classroom for a couple of days. They give you a binder of some sort that you might've referenced in the early part of your career. But since then it's kind of just been sitting around. And so I think, you know, when we can look at these as opportunities to educate and expose, and it really is about exposure. Like we can expose people to, again, how to deal with seniors as well, as part of what I'm doing with the real estate side of AgeWise, is helping other realtors do better with the relationships with seniors, because this would be a softer way of saying the same thing. This is going to be received a little better than the way you're doing it, mm-hmm. and help them to be better at providing service without offending, and and similarly guiding on the other side of the transaction, the seniors, to say, I know you said that you have new windows, but they're actually 35 years old. I know they're new to you because you've lived here for 50 years. But, you know, just like trying to ease like the language in between generations is you know, sometimes as important as between any other differentiator between gender or race or culture. It's like just between the chapters we talked about when youth, you know, and as we approach middle age, from to aging to aged, where like you really now rely on people. And if you've done it well, that shouldn't be a problem, because it really all does come back down to relationships. And if you don't have them, we need to build them. And so again, I'm looking back at my sort of professional career where I wish I had known more about the HR department. I wish I had understood that earlier. Maybe it wouldn't hurt so bad when I finally figured out that they didn't know anything about me or my story or any, like they knew nothing about what was going on. And so I think, you know, knowing yourself and what degree of support you need and want, and being willing to ask for it. And with AgeWise, we have a feather in the logo, and that feather is meant to be like, use your voice, speak up. If something's bothering you, I can't know unless you tell me. If I'm worried about something, I can't know unless you tell me. If you need help with something, I can't help unless you tell me you need help. Right. And there's a lot of people who struggle, and whether it's in an employment situation or like just trying to, you know, take care of themselves and their property or a loved one, you know, there's an awful lot going on there with people. And it's important, I think, to speak up. And then the other piece in my real estate marketing, we always say, let us help you write your next chapter here. Because we know most people don't want to leave. But when you turn that feather into a plume and you say, okay, if I'm staying here, what does that look like? What can that look like? Like, write the next chapter. You get to decide what it looks like. And if you just take the lessons forward and try not to go back in the ditch every time, you know, like something, you talk about a trauma from the past, we need to be able to get ourselves back to present day and be able to write that next chapter. And, you know, if a move is required, knowing that we tried everything first for families makes the move feel better. If there does need to be placement, long-term care, retirement, they're going to feel better. Above all, maybe it's a more creative move. Like, you know, creating a multi-generational scenario where that's possible, or purchasing something where a caregiver could live there and that, you know, there's some win-win scenarios. There's any number of scenarios available to people. It can be difficult to get into the thinking and the forecasting when we're not quite sure how this is going to unfold. You know, having an expert team in your corner certainly helps. And I know, you know, the HR departments are there for a reason. I just hadn't had one for a long time. And I know, you're never going to please everyone. My dad worked in heating and air conditioning. He used to always say the real battle of the sexes is trying to get everybody to agree on temperature in the room. You know, so how are you ever going to please an entire staff of employees? They each have their own lived experience. And that's exactly why, you know, it's again, exactly why AgeWise was created, because people need comprehensive and customized. Comprehensive doesn't work if it by definition can't be for everyone, but everybody needs all the things considered. Well, you know, how we piece that together for each client is a little bit different.
Oh, for sure. In closing, what's one takeaway do you want our listeners to get from this episode?
Well, like I think I said in the beginning, you know, the best is yet to come. You have to believe something better is available to you. And so when you really check back in about all the hats you wear, which ones would you take off if you could? And just say, you know what, I'm done with that one. Or I never wanted that one in the first place. And if there's some that are on there that you just can't take off, like I always say to people, I'm not going to be the quarterback on the field with your loved one, but I can be the coach in the stands calling the plays. That makes that job a little easier. So help helps. People finding, like, putting their hand up sooner than later is better. And the sooner you, like, you know, I've never had somebody wish they waited longer, but I've had lots of people say they wish they started sooner because they went through all this agony. And by agony, I mean, even just being able to make a decision with confidence, but whatever it is, like, again, some curveball came your way. What do I do next? And feel confident about it. Makes all the difference.
Yeah, communication is key, right? It's right, what you're saying all today is communicating. And I think when we're communicating together with each other, seniors with their organization, so the organization learning how to communicate with that senior and that senior learning to communicate with the organization to help them to figure out exactly, like you said, what's needed. What do I need? What does each other need? How do we get through this? I love when you say the best is yet to come, figuring out that, yes, the best is yet to come for sure. So I love that. My call to action today would be for everyone to like, share, and follow this episode. And I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today, Leslie. I admire your supportive nature, your ability to bring joy to everyone that you meet. And I also admire your ability to build meaningful relationships. And I know that you and I, we built a relationship right from the get-go. And it's continued to this day, and it's been a while since we've built that, and I'm so thankful that we had the opportunity to build that relationship. So thank you again for that. And thank you again for coming on here today.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share on a topic I'm so passionate about.
You're very welcome. On behalf of myself and my guest, Leslie, I'd like to take the time to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe. And remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.